Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. As you're turning to Acts chapter 16, you'll be looking for verse 25 when you arrive at Acts chapter 16. I think I'd like to just begin this morning by just thanking the Lord for the church that I attend. More than just the hair care president, so to speak, more than just the pastor of Dominion Church, we too are a family, members in this church. We too are dependent on your lives being lived out according to the purposes of God. And I think this week, in the middle of walking through a number of different dark places with families, the Bible calls the valley of the shadow of death. It's a very dark place. It seems in recent months a number of our families have been walking through that place. It seems that in this week, it made me even more aware of what a precious church family this is. I watched as you kind of just pulled in the wagons around each other. I watched as you just began to love on each other and pray for each other and be there for each other. One of the pictures that was drawn for me this morning of that was a couple of our ladies who had attended Liz Gonzalez's celebration service were leaving in their car, and they noticed another lady in our church. They noticed that she was hurting deeply and weeping, and as she was walking out to her car and they were leaving in theirs, you know, they stopped. They just stopped. They put everything in their life aside and said, you know, we probably need to be other places. But right now, that person hurting is the place we must be in. And they pulled over and they just began to hold this individual and love her and pray for her and encourage her. And I saw that particular picture repeated a number of different times in a number of different ways. I had a number of you come up to myself and to Pastor Dina and tell us that you had been praying for us through the week because you knew that this was a very difficult week for our church family. And that much of the responsibility of ministering and loving and encouraging fell on us. And you could see the genuineness and the sincerity of people's hearts as they said that. And you knew they had prayed and been praying. And there were key moments in each of the days of this week that you could actually feel the strength of God that came as a result of their praying. I watched as you gathered around each other, and many of you did just that through giving offerings of yourself, of your time, and of preparing food. And sometimes that preparation means that the colonel does it for you. But the reality of that is that you took time to care. You stopped what you were doing and you recognized that there were people hurting and crying and weeping around you. And you stopped and said, I may not have much, but I have myself to give. And I'm going to give myself in this moment to their weeping that endures for the night, in hopes that God can turn their weeping and their mourning into joy and into dancing. And I'll tell you, that said to me, I'm glad to be a part of this church. That said to me all over again that I'm glad I'm in the right church. That said to me, I'm in the right church. And so for the four of us that feel that way this morning, let's just all four of us gather here and just clap and shout and rejoice and be glad in the Lord. But I want to just say thank you for being that kind of family. I want to be a part of that kind of spiritual family, more than just be the pastor of that kind of family. I want to be a part of that kind of family, a family that notices when it's hard for me, a family that notices when I'm hurting, a family that knows I must be growing weary in the battle. I want to be a part of a spiritual family that knows and does. Sometimes people know, and instead of stopping, they just keep driving by, acting as if maybe someone else will notice and take time. I want to be a part of a church that not only knows and not only notices, but stops and takes time. How many of you think that's the kind of church you want to be a part of? You want to be a part of that. And you're glad this morning you are a part of that. You know, I want to practice that. How many of you think we could practice that one more time? So this morning we read from Acts chapter 16. No, let's go to his word and continue to practice that. Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26, and 27 and 28. And let us honor God's presence this morning, and let us just stand back to our feet, and let us listen as I read this, and we together join at the table of His Word. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. About the darkest part of the night, about the darkest place in life, or as Scripture says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, and they were singing praises to God. That's kind of hard to do sometimes when you're in the darkest places that life offers for you. And yet, in the darkest places of life, it says that Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises to God, and that the other prisoners were listening to them. Do you recognize, even this morning as you stand here, and as you stand here, you may be standing in the darkest place you've ever stood, that even as you stand there and the enemy tries to tell you that you're alone, that the Scripture helps you to recognize that there are others standing in the same place. As dark as it is for you this morning, be encouraged to know you are not alone. There are others in a very similar place. It feels like a prison to them, just like it feels like a prison to you, and you're not alone in your dark place. Why don't you just look around and ask three people, can you see me? Can you see me now? Because it's important to be able to see in a dark place, is it not? Have you ever walked into a room and somebody turned the lights out and it was so dark you couldn't see anything? You couldn't even see your hand. You could only feel its warmth as you held it close to you. And you just needed to know in that moment you were not alone. Has the enemy ever turned the lights off in your life and it be so dark you can't see anything? Not even the hand of God in front of you. And it's just reassuring to know that there are others standing in the same place. We know this about dark places, that if you give it a period of time, your eyes, your vision, your sight will begin to adjust. And even in the dark place, you'll have an ability to see. And in due season, see your way out. Oh, if somebody could just get that in their spirit and tell themselves, I'm about to see my way out. I'm about to see my way out. But first, let me read the rest of the word. And so others were there, and they were called prisoners, and they were listening to Paul and Silas having the audacity to pray and sing praises to God. Suddenly, there was a break in the traffic. Suddenly, the line at Shipley's opened up, and the little mean green machine I drive called a Nissan Altima made a way where there was no way. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations, the very root and foundations, the very strength of the assignment against them was shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. Any everybody's here today? You thought your praise only affected you, but unbeknownst to you, there were some everybody's in the same dark place that was affected by what you did in the darkest place of your night. Hallelujah. Thank you for your right. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We all here in the yellow submarine." Heavenly Father, take your word. Bring light to our dark place. Bring life to the dark place of death that we're walking through. And God, bring hope to the place in me that's hurting, as only you can. In Jesus' name, everybody prayed and said, amen. I'd like to ask you to remain standing. No, you can be seated. I don't want church just to become a habit to you. When I grew up, we went to a church that you knew the service better than they did. Anybody grow up in that church, but still didn't understand what you meant when you sang "Bringing in the Sheaves"? I can remember being a little kid and we'd sing that song, "Bringing in the Sheaves, Bringing in the Sheaves." We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. And I would always look at the back door looking for the sheaves family. I thought they were going to bring the sheave family in. I don't know. Now, let's give you a little bit of context and background to the Word of God here. Because in Acts chapter 16, we find the story of a time that the disciples, the people of faith and obedience, were living in God's will. You know, sometimes living in God's will is not without pain. Sometimes your greatest pain will come when you're living in God's will. And just because there is no pain in your life doesn't mean you're in God's will or not in God's will. I think sometimes we read our pain far different than the purpose God has for it. So if you're sitting here today and there's no pain in your life, it doesn't necessarily mean you're in the will of God or outside the will of God. But what we have to recognize is for them in this season, they are living in God's will. They are on their way to church. They are going to the house of the Lord. It's a place of prayer. Now, it's here that the trial comes looking for them. And often in life, we don't even have to look for the trial. It comes looking for us. At first, it troubles us a little bit. It's not really in our way. It's not an obstacle yet, but it's a distraction. It has this gnawing effect on us. And that's what's happening here. A slave girl who has a spirit which is able to predict the future begins to irritate their faith. She begins to try to distract them from where they're going. They're going into the purposes of God. They're going for a time of prayer. They're living out lives of obedience. And she becomes very enamored with their direction and with their destiny. And she starts predicting the future. She starts mocking them with their future. She starts saying things such as, "These truly are the men of God. You truly can be saved by their message." Now, the enemy was making fun of it, and yet God was in the midst of using it. And we have to understand that here. Now, we have to recognize that this young lady was working for a living and that she had certain owners that were making a lot of money by her ability to predict the future. And we find in Scripture that she's done this for several days until finally God's man of the hour, Paul, becomes so troubled that he turns and he says, and Scripture says this, he says to that troubling spirit, "In the name of Jesus, come out of her." And guess what happens? That spirit comes out. That's a powerful word. When God puts something in your heart and you're able to speak to that thing troubling you, and that thing has to cease and desist. I think we see in this the power of an obedient life, the power of putting God's word in our life and speaking the word to our world. They finally spoke to things that be not as though they... And guess what happened? It moved from something hoped for into the realm of something seen by the power of God's word spoken through their lives. Now, it's at this point, though, that the trial went up another level. It went from troubling them to now detaining and detouring them. See, as a result of their obedience, they spoke the word of the Lord. They broke that troubling spirit that was seeking to keep them afflicted and addicted. Have you got one today? Has it got you? They spoke that, and it broke that spirit of affliction and addiction. It was no longer in their path. And the enemy got mad through these owners. They were thinking to themselves, "We have just lost our means of income. We've been making a lot of money off this girl's ability to predict the future right." And so what they do is they drag the disciples into the marketplace and they bring them before the magistrates. Talk about a trial going from bad to worse. We find God's men living out God's will now going from a trial that's distracting to now one, are you breathing, that now begins to hold them in bondage. Notice here what happens is they come before the magistrates, and these individuals charge Paul and Silas and the disciples with bringing customs unlawful for Romans to accept or to practice. And so history and Scripture tells us that the crowd joined in. Ever feel that way? ever feel like at first your trial started out little and then it picked up some speed and some momentum and it got bigger and bigger and bigger and then it felt like the whole crowd, the whole world was against you? Well, that's what's happening in their lives. And we find that they're not just stripped, but they're beaten, they're flogged, and they're thrown into prison. Talk about have a bad day. Talk about being voted off the island. Talk about not getting enough text message votes. These guys were out. They were off. They didn't even get to sing their last song on stage. They had to go in the back room and sing it. They had to go to the prison and sing it. It's here that we begin to see faith in a way that God desires for us to practice. I think what's so powerful and what's so ironic about the heart of God is that the whole first part of today, we spent time praying and singing praises to God. See, friend, there's a lot of power in praying. And there's a lot of power in praying and singing praises to God. Sometimes it can be a difference. Sometimes there's a difference between what you're saying when you're praying and what you're praising and saying to God. I think the natural tendency for us when we pray is to talk more about the prison than the provision. I'm going to go over here in this side of the room. We're going to illustrate what it sounds like when we pray more about the prison. And then when I come over here, it's going to illustrate what it looks like when we sing praises to God in the prison and we speak of God's provision. Are you still out there? Let me hear your praise. Now, what we find here is that they're in the darkest part of their night. It's a dark place in life. We all find ourselves there on occasion. And we all have to recognize that what we do in that place has a tremendous effect in us and a tremendous effect on everything and everyone around us. So it's not that your faith is going to keep you from the dark place. Sometimes we hear the enemy say, it's a lack of faith. That's why you're in this place. You're not good enough. You don't have enough faith. Your faith isn't good enough. Your faith isn't large enough. You're insecure. You're weak. You're evil. You've fallen short of the glory of God. And most of us are thinking in that moment, well, yeah, tell me something I don't already know. So what I want you to understand is that the dark place is going to be something that you, something that me, something that us are going to find on occasion we're walking through. Sometimes it's a result of our faith. Sometimes it's a result of life happening. And it's what we do in that place that can make us or break us. Now, the tendency of our natural nature, our fleshly nature, what comes easy to us is to pray something like this. Why am I in this place? I don't deserve to be in this place. It's not fair that I'm in this place. I can't believe I'm not even Charlie Brown, but everybody's picking on me. Oh, it's their fault and their fault and their fault. And I'm here because they don't love me. And I'm here because they're not good to me. And I'm here because they hurt me. I don't deserve to be whipped or beaten, stripped or flogged. This prison, it's an outhouse. I deserve the penthouse. And sometimes that's what we call prayer. Now, that's enough to get you into the prison, but it's not enough to get you out of the prison. Do you understand when we live this way in the dark place and we're in the prison of life, that then we ask the prison to move in? See, it's one thing to be in a dark place in life, and then it's another to allow the dark place in our life. It's one thing to have the prison of on the outside of us, and it's another when we act that way and pray that way, and then the prison moves in, and the prison has us. So it's one thing to have the prison on the outside, and it's a whole other thing to have the prison on the inside. Now, Scripture says there were already prisoners there. And that says to us, there are already going to be some people that will wine and dine you in the dark place. W-H-I-N-E. Have you ever been around somebody like that? You ask them, you make the mistake at least once to ask them, how you doing? and they tell you, I'm just so tired. I'm just so down. I'm just so discouraged. I'm just so overwhelmed. Life is just so hard. And you came in and you were up. And with each thing they say, you're the wilting flower. And you find yourself packing your bags and moving in with them. Have you been around that person? Now, what the scripture wants to teach us is that though the dark place will many times be around us, the dark place doesn't have to be within us. That just because we're in a prison, it doesn't necessarily mean that we are not free and that we're imprisoned. Paul and Silas were in the same dark place, but they didn't handle it as the other praisers, called prisoners, were handling it. They were talking more about the prison than the provision. It's not that you're not going to have some prison experiences. It's what are you going to do when you're in the prison? Are you going to speak to the prison? Or are you going to speak to the provision? Paul and Silas came over here and they came in and they had been stripped and beaten and flogged and scourged. They had been mocked and they had been criticized. They had been put down. They had been pushed around as a result of their obedient faith. What you did not hear them say is, oh God, this is so unfair. I'm in the ministry and I'm doing your word and I'm doing your work. I can't believe you put us in this place. This is so unfair. They realized that they were now in prison and they now had a prison ministry. So what did they do? They got a portable sound system. And they had a service. They were the loudspeakers. They were the guests of honor. They were the guest speaker. They wouldn't get much in their love offering, but they would minister in a powerful way. And so in the prison, they spoke his provision. Can you hear them now? In the middle of what everybody else was going through, in the middle of the darkest place of life, they defied the odds and they defeated the enemy and they dared to have the courage when they came into this place. And in that courage, they said, he is my shield. He is my strength. He is my portion. He is my deliverer. He is my strong tower. He is my shelter. He is my very... prison help in time of trouble. Instead of being over here saying, where, oh, where has my holy God gone? Oh, where could he be? Any of you ever see Underdog before? You remember Sweet Polly? Was it Cupcake? Sweet Polly Cupcake? As I was saying, Sweet Polly Purebred would sing that song. Where, oh, where has my underdog gone? Oh, where could he be? They could have come over here and done that and asked why. Why, God, why? When, God, when? In that hour of darkness, they released the God who answers the why and the when. And they said, this is the day. This darkest part of the day is the day that the Lord has made. As for me and my heart, as for me and my house, I will praise the Lord. Where has my God gone? When I went in the fire, he went with me. When I went through the flood, he was at my side. Where is he now? He's right here. He's the same today. He's the same yesterday. And he'll be the same in tomorrow when I get there. This is the day that he's not abandoned me. He's not forsaken me. He's not defeated. He's not overwhelmed. He's not overcome. And today I'm going to pray and sing praises to God. Now, it may not be fancy, but it works. And we're going to conclude with a time of just standing to our feet in just a moment, and we're just going to pray and praise the Lord. And we're going to just remind ourselves how powerful praying and praising God really is. The enemy's not going to give him any credit. The enemy's not going to give you any credit. He's not going to saddle up to your side and say, man, you keep this up, I'm gonna have to go. Now, I know you don't feel like praising God, and the pastor's making you praise, and you're by faith praising God and being the enemy of your life. I've just got to tell you, this is really messing me up. Even though you don't feel like it, it's working, and I'm losing my hold on you. I'm losing my grip. I'm about to be defeated. You better calm down. You better sit down. You better be quiet. See, praise is a mouth thing. Somebody shout a mouth thing for me. What I'm wanting to do is help you to recognize that praise is not just a spirit-filled, spirit-thrilled thing. See, when I was growing up in the Baptist church, I thought when I heard the word praise, and I thought wrong, but I thought that's what them charismaniacs did. I thought that's what they did in the AG church. I thought that's what they meant by women aglow. And that's what I thought. I did. I really thought that. Y'all are laughing at my pain. I've been through a lot. I'm over here in this prison. It's dark. And I'm trying to find some light for all of us. And y'all laughing at me. I did. I used to think that. I used to be afraid of praise because I thought if I raised my praise, it meant I would have to act goofy. And I didn't want to come to church and act goofy. And now I just am goofy. But the truth of this is, praise is so much more than an emotion. Praise is greater than your emotions. It's a devotion. Praise is a mouth thing. It's a devotion. Because emotion without devotion is just a commotion. I need some motion in my ocean. I got to rock God's world. I got to see God in my world. And I used to not praise because I thought praise was what the emotional people that weren't really devoted and dedicated to the Lord did. Oh, look at them down there dancing. Look at them raising their hands. Look at them. That's such a them thing. And I misunderstood praise because I'd never experienced that. So when people would come to church and get free in their praise, that spiritual Pharisee in me would judge those people wrongly. Until one day I became one of those wrongfully judged people. Until one day I was in a prison so dark, I was in a hole so deep, I could not find my way out through praying. And I heard the Lord speak to me in that precious word that only can be His word, because His word doesn't return void. And His precious voice said, if you want to have this place, praise me. Praise me. See, praise is expressing our appreciation to God. It's saying thanks for His divine nature. Praise releases each aspect of His nature into our locked and blocked place. See, Paul and Silas, they were in a locked and blocked place. In the natural, praying wasn't enough. Praying wasn't altering their situation. That's why Scripture said they prayed and sang praises to God. See, sometimes it takes and to get out of the blocked place. Sometimes it means you have to and to unlock the locked place. And I'll never forget that day. I remember standing to my feet trying praise on. It was like a garment of sorts. Scripture says to put on the garment of praise. It doesn't say put on the garment of goofiness, fleshliness. It says put on the garment of praise. And I remember sneaking my way up into praise. I kind of looked around at other people that were praising God, and it seemed to work when you put your hands up. So I started out, because I was so worried what people would think of me. And I know you've never struggled with that before, but coming out of a Baptist background, I did. I didn't understand the emotional aspect of God. And oh, now do I not only understand it, but do I allow God to use that to drive home the devotions to God? Because emotion with devotion releases the motion of God. See, you can take your emotion, combine it with your spiritual devotion, and you can release the motion and the hand of God. And I remembered, I looked around at other people who were praising. Other people in our church who I knew was going through some stuff, I couldn't quite understand how they could go through that and be praising God like that. That did not make any natural sense to me. And the reason it didn't make natural sense to me is that it takes the Spirit and experiencing the Spirit to understand that. And so I put my hands up and I started listening to what people said. And I would hear people say, "Oh Lord, we just praise you." And so I would say that, "Oh Lord, I just praise you. Yeah, I just praise you, Lord." I started to feel and have vision for who I was praising. And I would hear people use the names of God, which helps us understand the nature of God. And I would hear people say, "Thank you for being my strength." And so I would say that, "Thank you for being my strength." And then I'd be like, "Ooh, I felt a little buzz, a little spiritual buzz." And I'd be like, "Ooh." And I felt like my spiritual engine got started. It's not in what I say, it's what y'all listen to. Faith comes by hearing. You've got to hear the word of God in this. And I would hear people say, "You're my Savior. Oh, nothing but the blood could have saved me. Oh, Lord, thank you for being my strong tower. Thank you that your name is for the righteous, a strong tower. And Lord, right now in my praises, I run to you. Oh, you are the yes in my life. You're the amen in my life. You are the Alpha. You are the Omega. You are the beginning. You are the end. I am the head and not the tail. I am strong and I am courageous. I'm not defeated, but I'm an overcomer to the pulling down of strongholds. Oh, God, you are great and you are greatly to be praised." And before long, I went from the back of the praise line to the head of the praise line. And I just throw my hands up in the air, and this little Baptist boy from a dark place in his life begin to say, "Let everything in me, let every breath in me praise the Lord." Oh, I see you standing in your dark place. I see you in the place of loss. I see you overcoming. I see you praying and praising the Lord. Oh, just lift your hands in praise. Lift your hands. Hey, God is going to do for you what you can't do for yourself. Psalms 145 says, "My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord." Psalms 54 says, "Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will sacrifice a free will offering to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes." Why don't you look at the foe in your life and say, "Ain't gonna be foe no more." Sometimes nobody can do it for you but you. There's something about you when you praise that's different than something about you when you don't. Oh, I'm all tuckered out now. And we come into a stopping point in today's service, but a starting point for your life. I hope today has helped you. Has it helped you today because of God's word for you? If God be for you, then who can be against you? Look at your foe straight in the eye. Maybe they're standing next to you, so don't look that straight. But look the thing in your life seeking to defeat you and declare in your mouth and through your lips, "If God be for me, then who can be against me? If God be for me, then who can be against me?" Now that's kind of a question. Now make it a declaration. God is for me. Then you can't be against me. God is for me. God is for me. You cannot be against me. Dina, would you and the praise team singers come? And I just want us to go out just singing a praise song. Can we do that? And I'll let you pick a good one for us to stir up our praise. Can I just encourage you? You're a part of a wonderful spirit-filled church that includes our emotions. But if you're one that, like me, struggles with, "Well, this is a kind of a charismatic, spirit-filled thing, and I'm not comfortable with that," can I encourage you to determine in your heart to grow beyond that thought? Because I had to experience it before I could grow beyond it. Would you just let God let you experience that? Because it so restricted my life, because I thought praise was something for everyone else. It was something for the emotional. I didn't realize it was for those who are warriors in battle, who know that the battle is the Lord, but we got the fight on our hands. you need to be able to praise in your life. You don't have to have the right feelings or the wrong feelings to praise in your life. When you pray, add praising to God. Don't just pray, but pray and the bridge into God's presence. Pray and sing praises to God. You don't have to be a great singer like me and the team to be able to praise God. Praising is more than being able to sing. Praising is just thanking God for who He is. And when you do that, it gets God in your dark place. So what song are we going to sing? This is How We Overcome.